We can't have nice things even right after Christmas on Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. We can't have nice things for the holidays. What's going on, everybody? My name is Mark Farzad. This is the Farzi Show presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. So here's what's going down. One, I think my kids got me sick. So that's how I'm feeling. Just a happy holidays to me. Two, nobody cares about my health. We care about Lane Johnson's health. We care about Avante Maddox's health. We care about Jalen Hurts' health, of course. We care about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, CD Deuce's health going into this weekend's matchup with the New Orleans Saints, because a couple of things are on the line that we'll get to in just a moment. News came out yesterday that Avante Maddox is out indefinitely with a significant, quote, significant toe injury. Great. Then news also came out that Lane Johnson is going to be out most likely into the playoffs. And I say into the playoffs because it's no guarantee that it'd be up and running in even a month. He's going to miss the remaining game, two games of the regular season. Hopefully, you know, the Eagles lock up that bye week against the Saints. That'd be pretty awesome if they did that. And then maybe he could be back in 4 weeks. Maybe. And he could be back there, you know, for the second round of the playoffs. He could be back there for the conference championship game. Maybe that's what would actually go down. Maybe that's what would actually happen for the Eagles. And then maybe they'll get some luck on their side when it comes to this Lane Johnson injury. On the other side of that, you have the idea that Jalen Hurts could still possibly play. Nick Sirianni addressed the media. We'll hear from Nick. I'll tell you right now, I got nothing for you on Jalen Hurts from Nick Sirianni, because Nick Sirianni didn't give you anything on Jalen Hurts. He said the same thing he said last week. He heals a little bit different than you. He's a little bit different than me. He's a little bit different from everybody because he's just a, you know, freak athlete. Fine. then the question comes, if he is healthy enough to play, do you want him to play without Lane Johnson on your offensive line? Because for whatever reason, the Eagles have no idea how to play football without Lane Johnson as their right tackle. Over the recent history of Lane Johnson's career, going back to 2016, it is abysmal. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. And well, the Eagles will have to figure out what they're going to do without having Lane Johnson there. But if he is not there, do you even want Jalen Hurts playing behind this offensive line? Or would you give the ball to Gardner Minshew to play the New Orleans Saints? If he could put up that much of a fight against the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to go ahead and assume he can put up a better fight at home, mind you, against the New Orleans Saints. And if this defense, yes, if they could certainly struggle against Dallas, I don't think they're going to struggle that bad against the Saints again at home. And whatever they need correcting, zone coverage being one of them, maybe play calling being another, responsibilities in zone coverage, that might be something that they go over once or twice. And I do have Nick Sirianni talking about that ahead of Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator, speaking today to the media. I do want to start off by a couple of things regarding that Cowboys game. One, the All-22 came out early this morning, and I watched the All-22 before the show today because I really wanted to see what the hell happened on that third and 30 play. Dak Prescott drops back, bombs the ball down the field to T.Y. Hilton, first down, drive keeps going. Cowboys end up putting major points on the board in that scenario. So that was definitely a tough pill to swallow. No question about that. It was capped off by the CD Lamb touchdown from Dak Prescott. So as you're watching that, as that's unfolding, as that's going on right in front of your very eyes, I had to go back and watch what happened on that play. The TV broadcast really didn't do a good job of showing it, but what you assumed happened on that play, I think happened. And what I talked about yesterday was Josiah Scott, I think, was supposed to come over and give over-the-top help. Instead of drifting to the sideline, he started drifting more towards the middle of the field, then literally did a spin-around U-turn to head back to T.Y. Hilton. But by then, it was too late, and he wasn't able to break up the play. Trying not to read too much into the body language of Darius Slay, it looked like he gave a look of disappointment to Josiah Scott. So if you assumed, which we did yesterday, that Josiah Scott was supposed to be the deepest man on that side of the field, and he was not, hence that play actually happened, and what we played for you yesterday from Slay saying that coach made the call, if we do what we're supposed to do on that call, we break up that play easily. that led me to believe that it was definitely a matter of a player making a mistake and not a matter of a coordinator making a mistake with a bad play call. They played deep on that play. They played well off the line of scrimmage. Darius Slay was playing that ball as if he was supposed to be between the man and the quarterback while the safety in that position, I don't know if that was cover three or not. It looked like it to me. Josiah Scott was supposed to drift over. Yes, he's normally a nickelback, obviously, in that situation, but he's supposed to come over there and break up that play. He was late to the party, as we all know. The All-22 showed the U-turn, showed the spinorama that Josiah Scott had when I think he realized what his responsibility was supposed to be on that play. And after the play commences, you see Slay look in the direction of Josiah Scott, and it looked like he gave some kind of motion to, where were you? As if he was expecting to have his teammate be over the top on that play. If you watch the All-22, that's what it reveals. It's the only other telling thing. It kind of confirms what we already assumed, that you were supposed to have over-the-top help in that particular play. I'm looking forward to hear what Jonathan Gannon has to say about it a little bit later in this week. Today, as a matter of fact, when he's addressed to the media, so we'll be able to play that for you guys tomorrow. The other thing is ball security. Nick Sirianni talked about it yesterday. As we all know, ball security is a big deal. The Eagles lose games when they don't secure the football. That's pretty much the same for everyone. The Eagles had one loss going into Saturday. They had one loss going into Saturday, and they're the best turnover differential team in the NFL. So their record was kind of a phenomenal testament to the fact that the turnover battle is the biggest battle that you need to win in an NFL football game. So you heard all the things yesterday from Nick Sirianni that you'd want to hear: cops are in a ball security, giving credit to the Cowboys for breaking up plays and jumping routes and making plays that they needed to and being strong with the football and all that. So credit where credit's due in that regard, and the Cowboys did a great job of doing that in that game. However, the fact that Miles Sanders fumbled that football, when fumbles have not been an issue at all for Miles Sanders this year, the fact that you had a backup quarterback slinging the football for you that might not have been on the same page, as much on the same page as maybe the MVP of the league going into last week, and that's Jalen Hurts, yeah, that would lead me to believe that that was a little bit of a difference. Maybe you would have had Jalen Hurts not read the same play that Gardner Minshew did. Maybe you wouldn't have Jalen Hurts make the same decision that Gardner Minshew did in those games. But bottom line is, I don't feel that Gardner Minshew was a problem in that game. When you talk about the turnover battle, though, that is certainly a problem. When you talk about maybe not being on the same page as a Boston Scott when you're trying to hand the ball off to him to see what he can do with the football for you, and it ends up being a fumble and picked up by the Dallas Cowboys, yeah, that's definitely something that I look at and say, this is where you're trying to work out kinks with a quarterback you're not used to. So the situation, I think, didn't lend itself to having success against the Cowboys on Saturday. But as time goes on, if these guys do get more time together, then I think those kinks will work out. It looked like the Eagles had played, whatever it was, 14 games without Gardner Minshew. It looked like that, and then all of a sudden he was your starting quarterback. There were certain little kinks that didn't work out in the offense. Little things that can be corrected with time. But if all goes well, they won't need the time to work on them because Jalen Hurts will be back as your starting quarterback on Sunday. That's the best case scenario. Yes, I would have Jalen Hurts play. Yes, I would wrap up home field advantage in the playoffs as soon as humanly possible. The Saints still have some stuff on the line there when it comes to the postseason. The Eagles want to make sure that they eliminate all hope there. It will be a very motivated Saints team coming in here, being that they will be playing for their playoff lives. They want to keep hope alive as far as that's concerned. Meanwhile, the Eagles can not only clinch home field advantage, but also help their draft stock. An interesting situation has unfolded in South Philadelphia when it comes to the pick that the Eagles could get with the Saints. It's not just about clinching home field advantage. That is by far the biggest deal, being the top seed. The little extra sugar on top of all of that is the idea that you could also help your draft stock for next year and get a better draft pick. Nick Sirianni talked about the unique situation that they face ahead of the Saints game coming up this weekend. Here's Nick Sirianni on that.
Well, sure. I mean, obviously our motivation obviously is to win the division and then to get the first round bye, which is all in our grasp now, right? This isn't like, you know, you guys maybe would ask me this question in the middle of the year, and I'm saying, and what, you know exactly what I'm going to say. You can already type it in there and keep it in that ink that you type it in, is that he's going to say, I'm just worried about this game. Well, this game directly affects the both those two things, and it affects the draft status. So, sure, like, what, I mean, and so, like, but we are focused on right in the now in the season. And, you know, it'll be sweet that we, if we can go out there and get this win. And then once we're making the draft pick later, we can say to ourselves, well, that really did help us out. And that's our goal, though, is just to win this game.
So the Eagles are in a unique situation here where they could keep on adding losses to the Saints. The Saints right now, they could be a top 10 draft pick. They could be a top 5 draft pick, depending on the way things shape out here. Saints right now coming to this weekend 6-9 on the season. You keep on adding the losses to them, maybe you could have them sink below the Falcons, who are at 5-10. Maybe you help them sink below the Colts. Ooh, Nick Foles last night. Oh man, that was terrible. You want to talk about ill-advised throws? You want to talk about bad throws in general? Nicky Six, BDN, no bueno last night, people. No bueno. And you could have him go up there to possibly, I think, third or fourth. So you could have a top five pick in the draft if you keep on hammering the Saints, and other teams, of course, win and, you know, play, you know, a little bit better than the Saints. Get a little bit of help from teams like the Broncos. Speaking of tragedies, Broncos, Cardinals, Colts, Rams, Falcons, Browns, Panthers, Raiders, they are all listed above the Saints when it comes to winning percentage right now in the NFL. So hopefully the Eagles can help their own cause by not just locking up that top seed, but also helping out their draft stock for next year and getting that better draft pick. A little extra added bonus for the Eagles. We'll put it that way. A little extra added bonus. All right, let's get into this. How do you replace Lane Johnson? First, why is it so important? It's not just because the guy's an all-pro. It's for whatever reason, Lane Johnson has that mojo. Getting this tweet from Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philly. Since the start of the 2016 season, including the playoffs, Lane Johnson, when he plays, the Eagles are 59-29-1. 59-29-1. Without Lane Johnson, they are 9-21. Holy Lord! That is abysmal. He has got that magic. He's got that juju. I don't know what, but whatever he's got, it helps the Eagles win. Now, yes, obviously not allowing a sack in like 6 years. That's a pretty big deal. That's cool. But whatever it is, and I remember Lane Johnson, he had the PED suspension, Carson Wentz's rookie year, and we were watching Carson Wentz that year, and we're thinking to ourselves, oh my God, this kid is something special. This guy is amazing. The appeal process goes through with Lane. The suspension comes down. He's suspended 10 games. And I'm sure you remember this. Ryan Kerrigan ate Halapulavati Vitae for lunch that Sunday afternoon in D.C. By the second play of the game, Carson Wentz had his name ripped off the back of his jersey. And I thought, this is going to be a long 10 games. It's going to be a really, 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 really long 10 games. The best point about this, the best thing I think I could illustrate this point, all right, other than 9-21 without Lane Johnson. The Eagles lost Jason Peters the following year for 9 games. 9 games left in the regular season. He went out in week 7. 9 games left in the regular season. The Eagles lost Jason Peters, Hall of Fame left tackle for both your right-handed quarterbacks that were playing that year, and Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. The Eagles lost Jason Peters. Halapulavati Vitae then went in at left tackle, and you won a Super Bowl. That shouldn't happen, but it happened. For whatever reason, though, if you go to the other side of the field and Lane Johnson misses games, you crumble. And you have no idea what's going on in the world. I was thinking about it, the severity of it, because it is a serious injury. I mean, it's to lose Lane Johnson is huge, especially when I just showed you those numbers there. Oh, my God. But I thought, okay, you know what? I'm not going to lose my mind. The Eagles won a Super Bowl with Jason Peters not even playing for the last 9 games of the season, not playing in the playoffs, done for the year. They won a Super Bowl with a guy named Vitae, Big V, at left tackle. So why can't they win a couple of games? Why can't they win one game? Win one game. Just beat the Saints. Beat the Saints without Lane Johnson. Rest everybody the following week against the Giants. Get another bye week and come back healthy. Why can't that happen? Of course it can happen. Well, you have to be playing one of the worst teams in the NFL. Check. You might even still get your MVP quarterback. Okay, let's hope that happens. What about defense? I need a little bit more help on defense if I'm not going to have Avante Maddox. Hey, CD Deuce is coming back. They did say, activated off IR, which is great. It doesn't mean that he is necessarily going to play. They were very sure to make sure that they said that. Just because he's activated doesn't mean he's actually going to play. I'm going to go ahead and assume he's going to play. I'm going to go ahead and assume that the Eagles' plan, because I think it's the best plan, is to move CeeDee Deuce back to the nickel corner spot, which is what they traded for. I know they traded for him with the intent to play safety for the first time since college. But I would move him back to the nickel spot, have Reed Blankenship stay as your free safety. And here's the other thing, interchangeable. You can have plays where you're using them both in different positions because they know both positions. My only concern is that CeeDee Deuce might not really understand the nickel corner spot here in Philadelphia the way he understood it there against New Orleans Saints. The other thing that comes into mind here is that the reason I'm confident he'll play is not just because they need him, because I think he really wants to play. Bottom line is, I think he wants to return. He wants to play. Beyond that, I think he wants to return. He wants to play against his former team that traded him in the New Orleans Saints. So the extra added motivation is there to help the team lock up the number one seed. The extra added motivation is just to play again. And the extra added motivation is the fact that he's playing against the team that traded him away. So if you're betting on CeeDee Deuce playing on Sunday, I think it's a safe bet to say that he is going to play on Sunday. The Eagles certainly need him. And those are four big reasons as to why he would actually play in this football game. I'm going to go ahead and mark him down as play. So the drop-off, is it as bad when it comes to Avante Maddox to Charles Gardner-Johnson? No, it's not as bad as it would be for Lane Johnson to whoever the next guy is going to be. Yesterday, Lane Johnson, of course, being out, that news coming out there, Eagles wouldn't so much confirm it. All that was really said about it was the fact that you could that they expect Avante Maddox and Lane Johnson to miss time. So Nick Sirianni addressed the media yesterday, talked about what they could do to replace Lane Johnson. Specifically, the question was, would you move Jordan Mailata to right tackle like they've done in the past and then move Andre Dillard to left tackle? Andre Dillard not very confident as a right tackle. Rather confident as a left tackle. And how about this? Confident as a left guard, too, when he's gone in for Landon Dickerson from time to time this season. Everything appears to be on the table, as Nick Sirianni says right here. Here's Nick Sirianni on how they're going to replace Lane.
Everything would be on the table, right? Whatever we feel like is best for us. I love the fact that Jordan has some versatility, that he's able to do so. I love the fact that, you know, Andre and Jack are really good backups. And we have a lot of faith in them to go out there and be able to do their job. So we have versatility, just like about with the Chauncey question. We got a lot of versatility there, and and Stout does a great job of getting the guys ready. Those guys do a great job of getting themselves ready. So obviously we're bummed about Lane in the sense of missing any time. But we also are confident in the guys that we have on the roster.
It's all on the table. They're the options. Do you just have Jack Driscoll play right tackle and act like nothing happened? Do you have the switch? We'll call it the switch with Jordan Mailata going over to right tackle. And then do you have Andre Dillard going over to left tackle? That'll be the switch. Do you do the switch? Do you elevate somebody to the practice squad? Sills, I think it is. Is there anyone out there off the scrap heap, as is referred to, that you could bring in here? I highly doubt the Eagles do that. But what's the decision? If it's me, I am putting Jack Driscoll at right tackle. That's my first step. I think Jordan Mailata has become too good a left tackle to say, hey, you do a great job over here. Now bounce over here, and we're going to put Andre Dillard over here. To me, that weakens two spots. Because Andre Dillard he's still not as good as Jordan Mailata. So you're getting a little not as good. You're getting a little worse at left tackle now for trying to protect the blind side of your quarterback. And now on the right side, I'm taking a guy who hasn't really played there this year, putting him on the right side. To me, you're getting weak at two positions then. I'd rather just put Jack Driscoll out there and say, hey, Go earn your stripes, son. I don't think Jack Driscoll is any train wreck of a right tackle. I don't think Jack Driscoll is, let's say, Andre Dillard against the Seahawks all of a sudden when he got all blown up. I don't think that's I don't think Jack Driscoll's going to do that. I don't think Jack Driscoll's going to allow that to happen. But I will acknowledge that it's like going from a master's student at Stoutland University to an undergrad. That's what it's like, and dropping from Lane Johnson to Jack Driscoll, then just kind of decided this would be his major. Like that's how it feels like. That's what it feels like. But ultimately, it comes down to confidence in Jeff Stoutland that he's going to have these guys ready to go. And if Stoutland University is a real thing, man, is it going to be proven even more so than it's already been come Sunday against the Saints. And I think that the move the Eagles are going to make is Jack Driscoll's your starting right tackle. And the reason for that is I don't think the Eagles want to get worse in two positions. If I'm standing there on the sideline with the coaches, or if I'm in the film room and they're making decisions about what they're going to do with the roster for their next game without Lane Johnson, and they say, "Oh, well, bald beard guy in the back, what do you think?" I'm going to go, "Yeah, just put Jack Driscoll in there. You don't want to get worse in two positions." That's the way I would approach it. They're obviously not doing that, but I still think that the right decision here. And now, in terms of listening to me, they're not doing that. But in terms of the best thing for the team, I think that is the best thing for the team, and I think that's what they will do. Not only is it my desire, but it's also my prediction. Jack Driscoll goes in there. Have at it, young fella. See what you can bring to the table. I don't want to do the switcheroo. I don't want to go with anybody else in the practice squad. I want to go in there with a guy that's already gotten game reps. And I didn't think Driscoll got blown up or anything like that when he did play the limited amount of time that he did play against the Cowboys on Saturday. So it is a huge drop-off no matter what. The thing the Eagles are going to have to do is somehow shake off the stigma that surrounds them, the stink that surrounds them with that abysmal 9-21 record without Lane Johnson since 2016. The Eagles won a Super Bowl with an injured Jason Peters, left tackle, protecting the blind side. He was out. They still win. They still win a Super Bowl. But for whatever reason, man, Lane Johnson, you can't miss Lane Johnson. I will say a bunch of those losses that are stacked up there. Now, trying to couch it here, but a bunch of those losses stacked up were that rookie year where Carson Wentz was getting blown up after Lane Johnson was out. Vitae certainly wasn't ready to play that position. If I remember correctly, had other offensive line woes during that season. And Carson Wentz really didn't have good weapons that year either. So when you surround or you really think about that 2016 year, a lot of things went wrong, most notably Lane Johnson going down. Since then, it still hasn't been a great thing. Last year, when he had the mental health issues, Eagles certainly had their struggles in that run as well. But when it comes to replacing him, I think the smartest thing to do, and I don't think this is going to be something that we worry about through the playoffs. I think it's definitely a threat to the first playoff game that they would step on the football field for, that they wouldn't have Lane Johnson for it. It's definitely a possibility, but why not go and put your best foot forward here? Take care of business against the Saints, help your draft stock, help guys rest the following week against the Giants. And then after that, you get a bye week, and then you can worry about Lane Johnson. Then you can worry about Avante Maddox, who's probably done. Because really no timetable whatsoever, not even playoffs were mentioned when it came to reporting whether or not he was going to miss time. So Lane Johnson, at least the optimism being out there about being available in the playoffs is good. But Avante Maddox, I would say, is done for the year based on everything that's come out so far about that. I look forward to seeing how Jack Driscoll does in the sink or swim. Now, the question comes again with Jalen Hurts, to get back to that. Would you have Jalen Hurts out there if you're having a backup right tackle? Yes. The answer to that question is yes. And there's not many quarterbacks I'd say that for. But if I got a mobile quarterback, a guy that doesn't have to stand on a spot, a guy that can feel that pressure and evade it and be elusive, Jalen Hurts is my guy. Oh, you don't need him to beat the Saints. You can beat him with Gardner Johnson. Gardner Johnson, yes, I could. Yes, I believe the Eagles could do that. But I would rather be closer to knowing that the Eagles are going to win this game, and you get a lot closer with Jalen Hurts. And I was thinking about it yesterday. As I was thinking about, would you start Jalen Hurts in this game, even with Lane Johnson not being there? Would you, if Jalen Hurts is healthy enough to play, would you put him out there? And my answer is yes. And the reason for that is I want to make sure, do everything in my power to make sure that the Eagles lock up home field advantage and get those bye weeks, because now they're even more important. The bye week essentially you would have for your starters against the Giants, the bye week you'd have for the first round of the playoffs. Even more so important now, and here's why I would do it with Jalen Hurts. One, I want to know, I want to have the best chance to win. Second, I think he's going to be protected enough. You can't always have an all-pro right tackle. Jalen Hurts is also elusive enough to evade that kind of pressure that could be on any other quarterback that likes to stand there in the pocket, maybe hold the ball too long. I want him out there, and I want him playing because I want to get as close to knowing they're going to win that game as I can. The other thing is, I'm not really one that worries about injury much. You're playing football. Guys are going to get hurt, unfortunately. So very rarely, with the exception of, oh, you have a first round bye week clinched. Yes. Rest your starters. That makes sense to me. Only 1 week left, rest your starters. If the Eagles would have locked up home field advantage this past week against the Cowboys, I'd still play starters, but maybe a little bit. Just because I also don't believe in long layoffs after you've been playing all this much, then stopping and then starting up again. I think that has come back to hurt the Eagles in the past. I mentioned last week the Joe Webb game. I think that had a lot to do with it, not just the fact that they're playing on a Tuesday night, but the fact that the Eagles from that game to the playoffs had like a long layoff with their starters and their offense had not been clicking since that Giants miracle to medals part three, I believe it was, the Deshaun Jackson. I know the call was part two, but it was really part three. Anyway, with Brian Westbrook's return being part two. But that's the way I see this playing. I see them playing Jalen Hurts. I want to get as close to being good and close to winning as possible, and then being able to take the following week off. That's what I think eventually happens with the Eagles in this game. I think Jalen Hurts plays. I think he plays well. I think they lock it up. And you could even have a situation where Gardner Minshew's playing in that fourth quarter. But back to the point I started illustrating. In going back and looking at the game and thinking about the possibility of having Jalen Hurts out there again, my counter argument to Micah Parsons was that Jalen Hurts is the on switch that makes it all go. You saw the Eagles be a very competitive football team against the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't have their MVP, and they lost by a touchdown. Your defense certainly helped them out tremendously by having a pick six by Josh Sweat. The Eagles getting sacks in that game. Josh Sweat had himself a hell of a game, obviously. But the biggest difference was, late in that game, I did not have confidence that Gardner Minshew was going to lead this team back. Fumbles obviously had a lot to do with it. The interceptions had a lot to do with it. But bottom line is, I feel with Jalen Hurts, he has that quality that you look for in your franchise quarterback, which is you always feel like you have a chance to win that game. And not just a chance, but you feel like you're going to win that game. And there were certain calls, especially in the red zone, where the Eagles had some struggles there, especially on that first possession after you get the big play by A.J. Brown down the field. That drive stalls. And they actually handed the ball to Miles Sanders a couple of times. Then you had a play breakdown, and Gardner Minshew tried to run for the touchdown. Ended up not working out. But in that situation, that's where you have the quarterback draw with Jalen Hurts. That's where you have the defense thinking about that quarterback draw with Jalen Hurts, and maybe that opens up something else for Miles Sanders. Maybe that opens up something else for the passing game. Maybe a defender is taking out of coverage because he's got to worry about what Jalen Hurts is going to do. That's where you really have him be that on switch. Gardner Minshew did a phenomenal job of hitting A.J. Brown down the sideline, making that play that he made in the first possession of the game for the Eagles. But if Jalen Hurts is out there, I think everyone else is 1,000 times more confident that you're actually going to put that ball in the end zone. And then maybe you're starting that game off 14-0 as opposed to 10-0. 10-0 is still pretty good, but it's just those little things that add up towards the end of the game, and next thing you know, you got a 6-point loss. That's where I think you really miss a guy like Jalen Hurts. A guy who's like, the MVP of the league. And to be honest with you, I know that the odds have shifted a little bit when it comes to who's going to be the MVP, Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts. But the Eagles losing this game, bottom line, and their offense putting up 27 points, which is still pretty good. But them losing the game certainly helps the MVP case. If Jalen Hurts plays on Sunday, which I think he will, and he balls out in that game, and the Eagles win that game something like 35 or 42-13, something like that, I don't think it's even a question as to who your MVP is. And you could still rest him the following week. So you could, in essence, have your MVP miss two games, and he would still be the MVP of the league. Because I don't think there's a better testament to him being the MVP is, you lost without him. He comes back. You clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs, the number one seed. His team's the number one seed. Yeah, I think that locks up that argument as well. Not only do you lock up a couple of things you could lock up in this game. You could lock up the idea that Jalen Hurts is the MVP. You could lock up the first round, or excuse me, the first round pick from the Saints, yeah. And then you could also lock up the number one seed in the NFC. Those are nice. So, yeah, let's lock that up. Let's go ahead and see that. Yes, please, and thank you. I mentioned Micah Parsons a second ago. I want to make sure I get to this. And it's nice, is what it is. It's nice. I don't think I have it for you. But Micah Parsons tried to do some damage control after the game. And I give him credit for this because they won the game. Credit to him for it. They won the game. The Cowboys won the game. And he went over to Jordan Mailata after the game. And he talked to Jordan Mailata about the comments that he made earlier in the week. And I don't think this is it. But let me just see. I thought I might have recorded it. I have no idea what this is. But Micah Parsons went over to Jordan Mailata after the game. And he was like, you know, dabbing him up and all that stuff. And he was like, hey, just, you know, let you know, it was no disrespect to Jalen Hurts or any of you guys. I just think you guys are a really complete team. Like, you know, football, you know the deal. You know what I'm talking about. And Jordan Mailata was like, it's cool, man. It's cool. You know, we're all good. No worries. I give Micah Parsons credit for at least addressing it. I'm sure it was a lot easier to do after you won that game. But I don't have it, unfortunately. But that's what went down. And I give him credit for at least addressing it after after it all went down. Let me tell you about Steven Singer at Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. For over 40 years, Steven has been in the love business in Philadelphia, helping people get engaged and fall in love. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, the perfect price each and every day. Now, what's the perfect price? Well, other jewelers like to mark things way up just to mark it down a couple of bucks. Just to make you feel like you want something. But it's Steven Singer. He doesn't make you work for it. He just gives it to you. Because he knows how much pressure comes with diamond shopping. When you make a big purchase, Steven wants to make you feel as comfortable as possible. That's why he has his team of real jewelry experts do a phenomenal job of making you feel like a real family member at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. Experience the perfect price and the perfect staff, I might say, at Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price, the perfect price. Online at Steven Singer Jewelers. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Always fast and free shipping at IHateStevenSinger.com. Let me tell you about the great people at Freestone Farm CBD. FreestoneFarmCBD.com. If you like CBD, if you use CBD, Freestone Farm CBD is the way to go. It's great for anyone looking to take a more natural approach to everything that they put in their body. When it comes to relaxing at the end of the day, Freestone Farm CBD. Relaxing at the end of a workout. Freestone Farms CBD. FreestoneFarmsCBD.com. You'll enjoy the tropical tasting Bayox that clocks into the chart topping 24.1%. And Super CBD, which is half Hindu.
Kush.
And 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. So everyone, sit back, relax with a little Freestone Farm CBD, FreestoneFarmCBD.com. How about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs. That's PHLSportsNation.com. Oh, and did I mention at Freestone Farm CBD? That's right. I'm going back to the read. 20% off with promo code Farzy, just like at Manscaped at Manscaped.com, where you can get 20% off and free shipping with promo code Farzy at Manscaped.com. Manscaped, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Oh, they're fantastic. Manscaped, enjoy their Platinum Package 4.0 that includes their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, and it all comes with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Enjoy all that at manscaped.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the chat check and see how you beautiful people are doing on this fine, fine day. Actually, you know what, T-Bro, was it you that I said? Yes, T-Bro. Happy 3rd and 30 freaking Tuesday, everybody. Yes, thank you. Nick Sirianni, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about beaters. That's right, he's talking about beaters. What kind of beaters? Zone beaters, coverage beaters that the Dallas Cowboys called against the Eagles coverage and zone defense. All right, here is Nick Sirianni talking about, how terrible the Eagles were. I think Jeff McClain's asking the question here, and he says that on throws against the zone, Dak Prescott was 24 of 24. Gross. Here's Nick Sirianni on Eagles coverage.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a little bit of everything there, right? It's us not putting him in the call that we need to put them into to help them succeed. All right, we'll always look at ourselves first. And I know there's going to be calls, and I know there's calls that, that Gannon, you know, Coach Gannon would want back. Then we're going to look at ourselves again as coaches and say to ourselves, okay, all right, well, did they play the call the way we wanted them to? And if they didn't play the call the way we wanted them to, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror as coaches on that as well and say, well, we need to teach that fundamental and that detail a little bit better because obviously there was a disconnect. And then it's to the players and of being able to go out there and execute. So it was a little bit of everything. There was a little bit of everything. You know, some they had a good beater on against. You know, when I say beater, it's like, hey, they had this coverage beater on versus the coverage exactly that we had on, and they just called a good play, and it was tough to cover it.
The more I hear about the play, is the more I just think Josiah Scott blew his assignment. I think that's just what it comes down to. Like, I think even the worst defensive coordinator in football, which I don't think Jonathan Gannon is, knows what to call on that play. It's 3rd and 30, people. You had to have one blown assignment. I refuse to believe that the coverage they called was the problem. I think the problem was Josiah Scott blew his assignment by leaking towards the middle of the field as opposed to dropping back and trying to handle his business with Darius Slay and T.Y. Hilton, obviously. And that's what it looked like when you watched it on Saturday, and that's what it looked like even more so when I watched the All-22. And I look forward to hearing what Jonathan Gannon has to say about the play today. So let's get back to the chat check. Kevin, good morning. Kevin, hello. Sean, April. What's going on, everybody? These injuries are making me nervous for sure. April, it's just like... I think it's just being a sports fan. I don't think it's necessarily being an Eagles fan or a Philadelphia sports fan. But what I think it comes down to is whenever you have something going really, really well, you're just waiting for that moment like, this is too good to be true. Something's going to happen. What is it? And it's like, oh, Jalen Hurts is hurt. Okay. Earlier in the season, you make a trade for a free safety. What? That free safety all of a sudden is 6 interceptions and leads the NFL? Oh, now he's hurt? Cool. Dallas Goedert's having arguably a Pro Bowl season as your tight end. He's hurt. Oh, on a face mask that wasn't called. Okay. Cool. Well, as long as Lane Johnson's okay, you're not going to go, oh, God, Lane Johnson's hurt. What? That's what it feels like. Oh, Avante Maddox. We got Avante Maddox back. Avante Maddox is out again. Good times. Good times. The injury bug is so freaking stupid. These stupid mistakes the Eagles keep making. It's mental. Hopefully it can be corrected by the playoffs. I agree. Sean, I agree. Mo Horton. We miss Jalen's ability to throw the deep ball in man-to-man coverage. Only one shot play with Minshew due to his lack of arm strength. I'm trying to think. I mean, the A.J. Brown play was a deep throw in the first possession. But, yeah, not a lot of power downfield. You're certainly right on that, Mo. Missed that. That's one of his many clutch things that you've seen this year. Obviously, him in the red zone, his threat in the red zone. I mean, just the threat overall. Having to account for where Jalen Hurts is, what Jalen Hurts is thinking, is a big deal to defenses. I guarantee you Dan Quinn got 5 extra naps in leading up to last week's game because he didn't have to face Jalen Hurts. I'm not facing Jalen Hurts. Oh, I get it. Snooze. April. Yeah. Miss me with that. He wouldn't have said a peep if they lost. Oh! Micah Parsons wouldn't have said a peep. Most likely. Probably would have trotted off the field. But being that they won, he was in good spirits. Much respect to Micah Parsons, even though I wanted him to be right. Now, here's the thing. And when I did the hit yesterday with Fox, I was on with Bill Anderson, was one of the hosts in for Mike Jarrett and Alex Holly. And Bill's a big Eagles fan. And one of the things he said to me was, I feel even better about the Eagles now, being that they could put up that much of a fight without the MVP. And my point was, I had the same thought. I said, I agree with you. You feel good. But the fact that the defense was that terrible gives you concern. And the defense giving short yardage in those turnovers, also not a lot of help. I get that you look at a close game against one of the best teams in the NFL when you're supposed to be the best team in the NFL. You play a close game without your MVP candidate. Yes, that can be encouraging. And for some people, it is. For Bill, it was. For me, I go, yeah, except the MVP is on your offense and your defense was terrible. Your offense was okay. 27 points by your offense? That's good. That's good. That's a nice day, right? Nice day. Eagles, what? We're averaging 29 points per game. They scored 27. All right, that's not terrible. Defense allowing 40. Defense allowing 40, even, yes, short yardage situations in some, when they usually average 19.1 points per game, not as good. Not as good. And by the way, there was a Cowboys fan, and I wish I clipped it. I don't know where it is, but I wish I clipped it. There was a Cowboys fan that was like, man, the Eagles suck. Eagles allow 19.1 points per game. They allow 40 against the Cowboys. Are you really bragging, son? Are you really bragging? Because you guys allow 19.2 points per game. Yeah, 1/10 of a point more than the Eagles, and you give up 27 to the offense. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Cowboys fans, they be tripping. Yeah. All right. What am I? Oh, Mihai. There you are, Mihai. I thought I missed you. Morning, Mark. Morning, everyone. Hope y'all had a Merry Christmas, even after the worst Eagles loss. We haven't slept Dallas. We haven't swept Dallas since 2011. I thought we'd do it since that was when the Phillies made the so when the Phillies last made the playoffs. I like it. Yeah, little tie-in there. Little tie-in. I like it. Sean Gillespie, nothing is ever easy in Philly. Yeah, it certainly feels like that, especially right now. April, not you expecting Cowboys fans to math. 19.1, 19.2, nothing different. And the Eagles had their backup quarterback. Pots and pans. All right, let's get into the Morning Rush. Thanks everybody in the chat. You guys are great. Morning Rush brought to you by Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. 76ers back at it tonight, looking for their 9th win in a row. What? 9 wins in a row. It would be against Washington tonight in D.C., and that's tonight, Tuesday. Then they're off till Friday in New Orleans when they take on the New Orleans Pelicans with Tyrese Maxey coming back to the lineup. Looks like Maxey will make his return after, what, last week you had Doc Rivers being like, oh, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. And then he comes back, it looks like Friday. It would be good to have him back in the lineup. Let me give a hat tip to Tobias Harris, who has just done a phenomenal job in his absence. I mean, really, D'Anthony Melton has really stepped up and taken on that starter's role and done a wonderful job. But Tobias Harris, I think, really found a style of play that he can play consistently, even with Tyrese Maxey coming back into the lineup. So I look forward to that. By the way, remember how I mentioned last week that the Sixers were hot? And I mentioned it yesterday as well. Sixers are hot. This is great. They're now 20-12. They have risen in the standings, but unfortunately, everybody else is hot as well. Well, how about this? The Brooklyn Nets have now won 9 in a row. Meanwhile, the Cavs, they lost to the Nets last night, but the Cavs have now lost 2 in a row. Sixers are the 5th seed right now in the Eastern Conference, winning 8 in a row. The Knicks have now lost 3 in a row, so they've cooled off. So the other teams like the Cavs and the Knicks that were pretty hot have now cooled off, while the Nets have stayed hot and the Sixers have stayed hot. So the Sixers are in a spot right now where they're just a half game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. They win. They'll be tied with them tonight. I believe the Cavs are off tonight. Yeah, I don't think they have a back-to-back. So the Sixers have an opportunity to rise to the 4th playoff seed in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, Cavs are off till they play the Pacers in 2 days. So the Sixers got some time there. But yes, everybody else was hot. Now it's just the Nets that are hot, and they're the 3rd seed right now in the Eastern Conference. So we'll keep on hoping that the Sixers stack them wins. By the way, over their 9-game win streak, did you see this? Durant and Irving have combined for 60 points per game. Must be nice. Must be nice. So Sixers back at it tonight, 7 o'clock in Washington for tip-off with those Wizards. Flyers, you know, they hurt my heart a lot of times, those Flyers. They're going to try to avoid their third straight loss. They got the Sharks on Thursday night at 10:30. They'll start the West Coast road trip. The funny thing here is with the Flyers being away, that means Disney on Ice is in Philly for this time of year, as it is every single year. And I wanted to leave you guys with this because my wife is taking Lil Toots to Disney on Ice tonight, today, this afternoon. And one of the things that a fond memory I have of working in the Wells Fargo Center when Disney on Ice was going on was right around the time Lil Toots was born. So this is like 4 years ago, almost 3 years ago, three, 4 years ago. I remember it was this beautiful sight of a mother holding, it looked like popcorn and a soda, and like a four-year-old girl walking next to her. And I was like, I looked and I was like, I think Emmanuel was just born. And I thought to myself, this is beautiful. This will be my life in the very near future. We'll be taking my daughter to Disney on Ice. How beautiful is this? And I swear to you, at that exact moment, the mother looked down at the daughter. I couldn't hear what the daughter was saying, but the mother looked down at the daughter and said, "Shut the hell up. I'll buy you one." And I thought, yep, okay, that moment's ruined. That's I don't know what "buy you one" meant. Maybe a glow stick? I don't know. I think it didn't sound like food. She had food in her hands. And I just thought, okay, that's a dose of reality right there. Shut the hell up. I'll buy you one. Now let's go watch Elsa skate around. Okay? Beautiful. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is the Farzy Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Jim Hyder produced the program, did a wonderful job. This is a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. My name is Mark Farzy. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. And hopefully we'll get some answers from Jonathan Gannon about what the hell happened on 30-30. Okay. Shut the hell up. I'll buy you one. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you guys tomorrow. Bye.